Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Germicidal Ultraviolet Zeitz, courtesy of Johnny Davis and the organizers of that Bored Ape event.
Oof.
That Bored Ape NFT event where...
Got that welder's eye.
Everybody came away with a little case of the, how you say, welder's eye.
or arc eye, because you're looking at an arc welder. This is all... It's never good. It's never
basically
good.
Basically, an ocular sunburn resulting from prolonged exposure to harmful UV rays. And this happened because people were dancing it up, celebrating in the face of people's doubt about the longevity of their board. The NFT movement.
God.
And they got some burned corneas. Got a little cornea burn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds so fucked up. I don't even.
Yeah, I don't like it. But,
it's so weird too that like you wouldn't figure out till after the fact. Like you couldn't like, or I don't know. Have people been around these things and been like, you know, if UV rays are fucking your eyes up like that, you know what I mean? Like, or is it one of those things where it like takes a second and then the next day you're like, my shits are cooked.
You wake up and try to open your eyes and they're just like glued shut, like that Homer Simpson gif.
Exactly. Mr. Simpson, you need your drops so your eyes will crust over. There you go with the add-ons.
Like when I Googled this, because I actually didn't know what Mr. Davis was referring to in the Discord. Some of the articles that popped up were like from the pandemic being like, yeah, these things are going to be everywhere to kill the germs.
Oh, those, right,
right. They will give your eyeballs sunburn. Anyways, I'm Jack. That's Miles. These are some of the things that are trending. The AMPTP.
Yep, there you go.
AMPTP has issued their best and final to the actors.
Yeah.
And you know what? One of the details that people seem fixated on for some reason is that they can pay you once to scan you and then never pay you again.
Yeah.
To quote George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Scan you once, shame on you. Scan you. You can't get scanned again.
You're not gonna scan me again. Okay. All right. Good to know. It also sounds like right now the AMPTP is now saying they will adjust language around AI.
Oh, hot damn.
So how things changed. It's like 30 minutes ago.
it's tough for them with this world where like we actually pay attention to the bullshit that they try to pull, you know?
And also like really pulling up with your chest out like that, like this is our best and final offer. And they're like, or what?
Or okay, fine.
Or there'll be more AI people. Oh, I know, it's rhetorically our best and final offer. Okay, that wasn't our best because now we're clearly going to meet you somewhere in the middle with AI. But yeah, ongoing saga there. Ongoing.
Well, speaking of George W. Bush, I recently heard somebody refer to where Joe Biden is currently as similar to like where Bush was in the aftermath of Katrina. Like, terms of just like the absolute lack of moral authority, you know, like we've seen you just ignore horrifying shit and just try and like keep it moving. And I guess I was just curious, like I've heard people kind of assume that this is what's happening to his polling numbers. That's what it seems like to me. But then when you like go to the New York Times article about like Joe Biden's polling in free fall all of a sudden this month, you might think that the major story of, you know, what's happening in Gaza that has like dominated every day of news for the past month would be the focus of a shocking polling free fall for Biden over that same period. And specifically like his polling is in free fall among people of color, specifically during a time that he has demonstrated what would seem to be a belief that the lives of, you know, brown people in Palestine are worth less in the grand colonial scheme of things than the lives of white people.
Yeah.
But like the New York Times article is just like, yeah, well, people think he's old and, you know, and it's like, well, they've thought he's old for a while.
Yeah, that was a thing that they'd been talking about like since last year or the concern or whatever. But like, yeah, that's very convenient to leave that part out because, you know, there are people who were doing polling specifically of like Arab Americans, and they showed that he went from around like 60% support of Arab Americans to now like 17.
Yes.
And they say is like astounding because there's never been a precipitous drop so quickly in such a short amount of time. Like with this specific community, but also when they are like, look at the polling, it goes across all like the crosstabs, like no matter religion or gender and things like that, age. And yeah, to your point, a lot of people of color too also see something that resonates with them on some level, where it's systemic oppression or watching Palestinian people literally walking to relocate, you know what I mean? Like, and like, Andrew Jackson might harken back to the time of Andrew Jackson with the Trail of Tears.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that resonate with people, but you also see like these really weird things too, where they're like, it's TikTok, actually. That's the problem.
Right.
And you're like, are you really doing the Principal Skinner thing right now? It's like, is it me?
It's the kids who are the problem.
The children. And I think again, this goes back to the idea that like people know more. People are informing themselves a little bit more. So like, to do this like full court press of manufacturing consent and it not working, like I don't know why that's a shock. Like people are a little bit more tapped in, and there's plenty of people that aren't, but it's just wild. And then you also hear people like Democratic strategists that are like, well, you know, like if there's a woman who is not supporting Biden right now, she'll figure it out once, you know, like November comes, because they don't want to vote against their own rights. And that's so fucking patronizing
and callous, and also like plays into the like Biden's administration and just the Democratic Party in general not doing shit to protect reproductive rights.
It I don't know, like none of the levers are working. It seems like for them. So yeah, I mean, obviously a year is a very long time in when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
But this is just, I don't know, man, like a lot of the shit that you see right now of what's happening in Gaza, like you can't unsee it, and then you can't be like, disconnect the idea that you're like, but we give them the capability to do that.
Right.
So are we also, you know, like a journalist recently asked a representative from like the State Department about like, is there any concern that like, you know, these are like, because these are international war crimes, that like the US is a party to that because they're providing the ammunitions? And like, it was just like completely glossed over. But
sure,
because we all know how the U.S. works. They're like, oh, you want to take us to The Hague? We'll invade everywhere. if you try that shit with us.
Right.
Tis not a good default position to have when you're talking about international law, but yeah.
Yeah. The New York Times article specifically, like, reporting on it mentions Gaza in, like, one sentence fragment about how people, like, trust Trump more on foreign policy. They're like,
yeah.
And specifically in Israel, they trust him by 11 percentage points and just, like, kind of keep it moving. But I wonder if he is, like, getting that message. Like, I'm assuming he's pretty well insulated by these Democratic strategists who are from a different era where it's just like, yes, we just ride with Israel, no questions asked, and like, that's good for you.
Yeah, like just going full neoliberal and being like, yeah. I don't know, this is what we do, dude. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, can't really.
Just got to remind them how good the economy is.
Yeah, it's, and again, it just, this doesn't help anyone. This is every day that this, like, this genocidal campaign continues, it's radicalizing people in every direction. It's causing more chaos. There was a guy who was at a protest in California who was like supporting Israel, like, and there was like a pro-Palestine thing, and he got shoved or something and hit his head and died.
Yeah.
It's, things aren't like, and to think that it's like, oh, this ends well, right? Like the, yeah. Like let's even game out the logic. They destroy whatever quote unquote destroy Hamas means. You're
right.
We've seen this play out. You're just going to create a vacuum for something worse to show up.
Right.
And do you think the people of Palestine are going to say, oh, all right, y'all got us.
Right.
All right. Like back to like, I don't understand. Like even it even defies like how we believe human beings to respond to trauma.
Right.
So it just all feels, it just, it, yeah. Every day gets worse and worse. And then like, then there's like headlines I saw that the IDF has put together like a short film of like really awful October 7th attack footage to just try and like, I don't know, they're like, there's screenings potentially happening in New York and Los Angeles.
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, how quickly are you like reducing these people who actually lost their lives into this like obscene piece of propaganda to justify the killing of more innocent people? It's just, everything right. feels so all over the place, man. And all you're asking is like the U.S. to the supposed leader yeah. of the free world to actually do something.
Oppose the killing of innocent people.
Yeah. And yeah. to hear people say things like, well, you know, I don't know what else to do. How about you say we won't give you munitions.
Right.
Why is that's not even a thing that's discussed. And I get that in terms of our, that's so, such a departure from American foreign policy, but to act like nothing can be done, that doesn't help people feel good about what is happening or how the U.S. is involved with that. So, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some other stuff. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back.
We are back.
And Miles, you found this study about how Hollywood affects how we visualize the end of our lives.
Yeah. Happening. Like we talk, you know, you bring this up a lot about how like movies and TV are sort of like form the bedrock of like our understanding of certain parts of like life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They affect how you imagine things that you haven't experienced yet.
Right.
So a country you haven't been to. Your whole shit bit by a great white, mm-hmm. or like your future, like how your life will end. Like I've seen way more plane crashes than I've seen people die of cancer in a movie. And therefore my brain at some level believes I'm going to die in a plane crash, or right. dying in a plane crash is more likely than dying of cancer, even though that's wildly incorrect.
To that end, right? Like USC and this organization, Endwell, they're dedicated to dismantling barriers and confronting stigmas surrounding end of life experiences. They just found like while doing an analysis of like TV and film for like the last 20 odd years, they're like, yeah, like just everything is so violent. Quote, the study found scripted television skews heavily toward violent death, with over 80% of television deaths caused by violence. It noted research that shows depictions of gun violence on popular primetime dramas doubled from 2000 to 2018. And then shooting, stabbing, poisonings, and beatings together made up 49% of depicted TV deaths, while illness was only 4.3%. And then so like their whole thing is like, if a majority of like characters experience a violent death, it's already painting a very skewed picture that deprives viewers of like a better representation of sort of what end of life care specifically could look like and like right. what options are. Like we talk
Why
about
I need to prepare for end of life care, man. I'm going out in a hail of bullets.
Exactly.
Like Scarface.
Or a plane crash or a tornado is going to throw me into the sky and I'll never come down. there's like a lot of research, right? We talk about psychedelics used for like end of life sort of therapy to help people sort of come to grips with their mortality. But that isn't even really like a scripted thing in media. They even pointed out, quote, for instance, in our investigation of discussion of psychedelics in scripted programming, we found hundreds of mentions, but only 3 storylines where psychedelics were used to treat patients. And only 2 of those are about treating end of life. So basically saying like, there's so much room for creators to paint more like realistic representations. And I get that obviously sensational stuff is they're like, that just like gets people or whatever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite capture like the breadth of human experience. And it's like, you know, people are like, we're all like experts in like understanding like stab wounds and poisonings because of the TV shows we watch, but have no idea about like differences. Like what's palliative care?
Right.
What's hospice? And it just, you know, they're going on to say that, like, there's a lot that can help people understand sort of what this sort of looks like, because we're only getting presented the version that is just very violent and sensationalized. So interesting. I didn't really quite think of that. But now when you look at the stats, you're like, yeah, right. Everybody's like killed and stuff. Like, unless you're watching like a medical drama. And they even point to the fact that a lot of medical dramas are also kind of like not doing the best job of showing like accurate
depictions. It's always like some strange, like unprecedented illness. It's never like, yeah, this person has been smoking for 45 years and that finally just caught up to them, you know?
Yeah. Right. And like even grief, like how that's not even, it's like used as like a plot point too. It's like this grieving character, this is the jumping off point for all this like activity following this or whatever. And there are other ways to depict it. So yeah, interesting analysis for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. WeWork, which we launched this podcast from a WeWork.
We did. We absolutely did.
We were
in Hollywood.
Did not have an office yet. And so we were working out of a WeWork, just strapped some mics closet. Into. Yeah, it really felt like a broom closet.
Dude, that shit wasn't. That was not an office.
No. I had asked them, like, give me like one without windows because it was going to be a lot of reverb if we had windows. And they were like, right. I mean, you could have this shithole over here.
Yeah.
And they like, you know, shoot some rats out of the way. And
politely. They're like, do you guys mind leaving? We got some people that are actually paying now. And they're like,
but I think in the early episodes, we were talking about like the, you know, the spa water that they had there, the nice cucumber water.
Little perks,
Nice little perks, but it was not fun to work there. But at that time, WeWork, rocket growth.
Juggernaut.
To everyone was, they were valued in 2019 at $47 billion in a round of funding. Yeah. And they were aiming to like hit the stock market and become basically the next, I don't know, Airbnb or like something like that. Work Airbnb. And then it all fell apart.
Yeah.
Like people realized that valuation was like based on basically they were valuing themselves like a tech company instead of like a real estate company. And so they were like tech companies. You can value yourself at like 8x what you're actually making money wise or some like really high number. Whereas real estate, you can value yourself at like 2x. And they were like, well, when you think about it, we're kind of a tech company. Like we have an app that people can sign into. And everyone was like, oh no. And so, and then there was like a lot of behavior behind the scenes that made them fun to dunk on as investors were realizing this.
The CEO, a lot of self-dealing there, basically. Mm-hmm. Fucked it all up. But also a lesson about how people get so caught up in this like Silicon Valley like visionary shit that they're like, yeah, it actually defies all logic that we have about how, you know, like, macroeconomics work. But it's don't worry, we're going to the fucking tops. Put a saddle on this unicorn because we're going
this
to
guy's
have
like got a big personality and he's fun to party with. So they have since lost 98% of their value. The company. The reason we're talking about it, they have filed for bankruptcy. In mid-August, they announced a 1-for-40 reverse stock split to get its shares trading back above $1, which is a requirement for keeping its
Buy the dip, New York Stock Exchange.
Thank you.
Getting 10,000 shares, bro. Watch this shit, Jack.
Yeah. But anyways, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
And there's an article in Wired about first-gen social media users.
Yeah.
Millennials.
Yeah.
And just how, like, they're now that Twitter is bordering on unusable and headed
It's unusable.
It's unusable.
I think we're in denial. Like, we're seeing, it's like when a relationship's really bad, you're like, but I laughed last night.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but how's everything else? Awful.
Yeah, it's really bad.
If you could be in a relationship, I would break up with them. Then I think you have your answer. That's the vibes right now. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So people are like, so where do they go from here? Has been how it's been covered up to this point. This Wired article is like, or do they just like not go anywhere? Are they like, oh, social media was like an experiment that went badly. And now we go back to living our lives in reality?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's just, there's this excerpt that people are sharing from the article that said, quote, millennials are the last of the analog world, both of yesterday and tomorrow, the bridge between what was and what will be. Maybe this is where my hesitation takes root and why it feels like there are no good apps left for socializing the way we used to. We came of age on a diet of chat rooms and MySpace. Our expression was devoutly digital. We signed up en masse because we sought in the next frontier of adulthood we slowly realized was being actualized online. Friendster, Blogger, Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook were where we found community, honed our creative urges, and secured careers. In time, we used social media to remake civic life. Okay, it feels a little, you know, okay, I see where you're going with that. But I feel like that evolution definitely, like I remember being going from no internet ever to dialing up on AOL to like just seeing what the, you know, all the shit that was possible online to then even like making YouTube videos or Funny or Die videos and things like that, and knowing that like there was like all this possibility, and now it just feels everything has been like co-opted by like just corporate interests that have no, like, see no value in what the connectivity aspect is, and just like, you know, farming for data. Or just like shit that is completely unmoderated and become total cesspits, and there's nothing like a value, or you have to wade through too much excrement to find the real stuff. So
yeah
I don't know. I there's like one part I was talking about, it's like this person's like, I use Twitter maybe 3 or 4 times a year, I barely post anymore. And I've seen how like even myself, like I went from loving to post shit on Instagram. I really love, and then I just slowly just like, I don't
what am I getting out of it?
Feels weird. It's just like, yeah, like I don't know what happened. But it could just be a function of getting older, but I still do like I miss that excitement of like when it was a little bit more pure. Or maybe it was always like, it just seemed pure in the beginning because we were always kind of pursuing something a little bit toxic underneath at the end.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know which way it is exactly, but I definitely feel the lost love on some level.
Yeah. That paragraph like reminded me of the year 2010, like when it was like, we are going to, you know, like it has that like propulsive energy of like, and you know, the sky's the limit. Who knows what we're going to do with this? And it's like, it just became a marketing tool that wound its way into like the very fibers of our brains and stuff.
I don't know if there is even like, I don't know if there is an app that would come out that you're like, oh, there it is. You know what I mean? Like, there's the thing. Or it's always just some version of like, I don't know, fucking the racists are just going to show up eventually and just like, fuck, or whatever the fuck happens. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel like it would need to be something on the model of like Wikipedia or open source, you know, projects where it's like people, like a community that isn't owned and isn't like trying to make a profit and is somehow using.
You mean hippie crap?
Yeah, like hippie shit. It would have to be some hippie bullshit, I think.
I wonder if that would put investors off. Like, you just, it's called hippie crap, but it's actually like the best social media platform just to scare off investors.
I mean, that's something that they talk about in Ministry for the Future. And I've heard other people, I think Douglas Rushkoff talks about it in his book that we had him on to discuss on one of our recent Tuesday Expert episodes, is like the idea that some of the most successful things in the history of these past like 30, 40 years online have been like open source, like community driven things, like that just, you know, didn't drive a profit, and the whole internet is like written on the back of that code, or like the one website that still like works
is
Wikipedia.
Right.
And the reason for that is because they don't get hyped. They don't get any media attention because it's like, well, this completely undermines the fucking circulatory system that our entire like political body is like built out of.
Yeah. They look at Wikipedia. So, like, how do you guys make the line go up? They're like, you mean with users?
Right.
No.
And that's why Elon Musk is like so hostile towards it. He's like, look at these losers asking for donations. Anyway, neo-Nazis, pay me $5 a month.
Yeah.
And you will get special blue check mark.
Or it's like when I was like in college and like my friends I used to smoke weed with would stop smoking weed and tell me like, you know, I'm actually not smoking weed. I'm like, oh, really? So you're better than me now? Like, it's that kind of shit too. Where it's like, oh, I'm being the muck.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway.
Where to go from here?
Who knows? It's impossible.
Just hang out at the park, dude. We should just go back to those like electrical transformer boxes that would just randomly be on a sidewalk, you know?
Wait, what?
You know what I'm talking about? You know, like those, just like shit that, hold on, you know,
this is like about the AllSpark?
No.
The transformers? In Transformers? Like, isn't that what they're looking for?
No, dude. I don't know that movie at all, but this kind of shit, you know, like an electric, like, just like that would be somewhere random. You're like, we just kick it by at that spot. Maybe we just need to go back to bring our kids. Let's hang out in parking lots again, like we used to.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
You've been pitching that for a while, even before the internet was broken. You've been like, hey guys, come hang out with me on this transformer.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
I'll tell you about a new app called The Stoop.
Yeah.
Where you hang out out there and you see people with your damn eyeballs instead of a virtual reality helmet.
Tell them, Pa.
All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending.
Yeah.
We are back tomorrow with a whole last episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Be kind to yourselves. Yes. Get the vaccine. Yes. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.